I've come from a long way away and from another time to be with you this morning. I understand that you've been studying my life, and I was asked to come and tell you a part of my story, so that's what I would like to do this morning. I want to focus on specifically how God introduced himself to me and grew my knowledge of him and therefore my relationship with him, particularly by how he introduced me to himself with his names. I was about 75 years old when this all started. I'd been minding my own business like a good boy over in another part of the land. And one night I had a dream, a vision. This commanding presence, this authoritative voice was speaking to me. His name was Jehovah God. But you have to understand that in my country, in my culture, there were many gods, a whole pantheon of gods. We had gods for everything. Gods for the weather, gods for the this valley, gods for that one. We had gods of fertility. So this one introduces himself to me in a dream, and he says he's Jehovah God. Well, that's good. Add that to the list, right? But this God began to talk to me, this Jehovah God, and he began to say that he wanted me to leave and go away. He wanted me to leave my family, my relatives, and go to another place that was a good long ways away. And if I did, he would bless me. He would make me a great nation. He would make my name great. In fact, he said multitudes would come from me. And he said, too, that whoever blessed me, he would bless them. And whoever cursed me, he would curse them. You also have to know that in my culture, dreams are very important. So here's this Jehovah God speaking to me in a dream, in a vision. And then he's offering me all kinds of good things. Blessings and a great name and a nation. Nations and all the families, all the nations of the world, he said, would be blessed through me. So I processed this and weighed that out and I decided to go for it. So I packed up my family and my belongings, my wife Sarah, my nephew Lot, all of our flocks and camels and herds, and we headed out. It was a good distance, you understand, about 500 miles that we traveled. So, of course, you don't do that sort of thing overnight. I didn't know exactly where we were headed, but I had a general indication from Jehovah God that it was in that direction. And when I had arrived there, about 500 miles, one night I had another dream. Same voice, same authoritative commanding presence in the voice, Jehovah God again. And he said to me in that vision, that dream, he said, "This is the land that I will give to you, to all of your descendants." Well, I worshiped. I bowed to my knee and I worshiped him. This was just not a religious token worship. I had realized that Jehovah God, who had called me and led me and now appeared to me again, I decided with an act of worshipful allegiance that he would be my God. I'd already made the step to follow him and I worshiped. I built an altar and I worshiped him. In fact, he appeared to me at different times in this region as I wandered around, and I worshiped him on a regular basis. So that was kind of like the first step. I admit that it was quite me-centered. It was all about, you know, the benefit that I would gain, in my thinking, of following Jehovah God. Well, the next chapter, you might say, of my relationship with Jehovah God happened when my nephew Lot got into some trouble. I understand you heard about him a few weeks ago. Well, he lived in the valley just over the way there, and some neighboring kings from some other regions came plundering. They decided to attack all the cities in that valley, and they did, and they came, and they took them all captive, including my nephew Lot, and they carried them off, in addition to all the goods and the food supply and everything from the city, and carried them all off. And I got word of this. And I got word that Lot was taken, and I didn't know what to do. We didn't have many of us. There were about 318 of us that were in my little business, you might say, my servants, people that were connected with me. I prayed to God, to Jehovah God, and I said, you know, I'm not into this thing of going after them all and getting all plunder and goods and supply and getting rich that way. But I want to save my nephew Lot. So would you help me? I prayed. And so I gathered my men and we took off after these people. It was quite a journey, about 75 miles. We came upon them at night and surprised them at night. And God gave us the victory. We defeated those kings and we rescued Lot, my nephew, and all the people from the city and all the goods as well. And then we headed back down to the valley where they were from to restore them to their place. And this is where it got interesting. As we were returning to the valley, a man came out to meet us. And he had bread and wine with him, elements of worship similar to this. And his name was interesting. His name was King of Righteousness. He was actually king of a city called Peace, just over in another region. And he came out to meet us, but he was more than a king. He was a priest. And he was a priest to a God whose name was God Most High. God Most High. And he came out to me and he blessed me. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And as we talked, this King of Righteousness and me, I realized that he was representing God Most High, but God Most High was the same as Jehovah God to whom I had prayed as I took off on my journey. And now God Most High is revealing to him, to me, through this priest and through the answer to my prayers that he is one and the same. My understanding of Jehovah God grew that day to understand that he is also God Most High. He's possessor, creator, owner, those words fit with possessor, of heaven and earth, all of heaven and earth. So what did I do? I worshiped again. I knelt with another determined step of allegiance to Jehovah God, God Most High, and gave a tenth of everything I had to God Most High that day. It was another step into my relationship with Jehovah God, now God Most High. I didn't do that lightly, you understand, but it was another step for me. Well, I returned to my place and had not been there long when another vision came, another dream. And it also was the same voice I had come to know, the same commanding presence. Jehovah God speaking, and he said to me, "Do not fear, Abram, I am your shield." Well, those words had special meaning to me because you remember, I had just come from a slaughter of some kings, and there were only 318 of us that took them by a miracle. And I was sure that it was only a matter of time before vengeance would be taken on me. It wouldn't take much for kings from all the parts to come and take revenge on me. I knew it wouldn't be much and we'd be wiped off the face of the earth. So for God to say, "Do not fear," was especially, I heard that. I heard that with both ears. And then he said, "I am your shield." I needed a shield right then. But then he went on to say something else. He said, "Your reward shall be very great." Well, this is the first time that I took this next step. I decided to dialogue back with Jehovah God. Before, it's always been him talking, me listening, me taking notes. But this time I decided, and I said to Jehovah God, I said, "You know, you keep saying this about a reward, but what good is a reward if I don't have any children to give them to, this reward to, that you're giving me? As a matter of fact, everything I have is due to go to a certain servant in my house. That's the law of the land. So what good is this reward you keep talking about? You've not given me children." I was quite direct to Jehovah God, kind of surprised even myself saying that kind of thing. Well, Jehovah God said, "No, that one is not your heir. One coming from within your own body will be your heir. In fact, step outside." And so I did, and it was one of those dark nights, and every star in the sky was shining. He said, "Look up to the heavens and count the stars if you're able. That's how many descendants you're going to have." It made sense to me. You know why it made sense to me? Because he had shown me that Jehovah God was also God of heaven and earth. And if he was God who created all of the heavens and all those stars I was seeing and all of the earth, and he was the God that called me and brought me to this land, it made sense that he could also give me many descendants like the stars. So I believed him. But then Jehovah God kept talking. And he said, I am the Lord God, Jehovah God, who called you out of the place that you came from. And I am going to give you this land to possess this land. He reiterated that statement. Well, I decided to talk again. I decided to ask him again. And I said, Lord God, Jehovah God, how will I know for certain that I'll possess this land? I mean, you know, I've been there quite some time and I'm still living in tents, going around from place to place. And how will I know for certain? Do you know what Jehovah God said to me at that point? He said, bring the animals. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a pigeon, and a dove. Well, I knew what that meant. Do you know what that means? You see, in my culture, in my time, this meant that there was going to be a contract signing. A covenant was going to be made. I knew exactly what that meant. You see, here's how we did it. We would take these animals, this cow, this heifer, and we would cut it right down the middle. Lay half of it on this side and half of it on this side. We'd do the same thing with the female goat. Half of it on this side, half, and the ram, half of it, and leave room to walk between. And then the pigeon and the dove. And then the two people who were making a covenant, who were making a contract, they would state their contract, and then they would walk together through those animals that were divided in two and made a sort of an alley between them. And they were signifying by that, may this be done to me as has been done to these animals if I do not fulfill what I have promised today. So you know what I did? I went and I got all those animals together. And I cut them and I prepared them. By now it's daylight. I prepared them and I got them ready for this contract, this covenant signing. Contract signing or covenant making, as it were. Got them all ready. And I sat down to watch and see what was going to happen. I had never heard of anything like this before where one of the gods makes a covenant. But I decided to sit down and wait. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited some more, and the sun comes up, and it's hot now. And I waited some more, and the vultures are circling around above, and they see these animals, these carcasses, and they swoop down to get them. But I drove them away. I was waiting. What was Jehovah God going to do? I was going to wait and see. And I waited, and it was early afternoon, and mid-afternoon, and late afternoon, and nothing had happened. I wondered if anything was going to happen. But as it began to get dark, this dread came over me, this terror. It was a darkness. I can't explain it even to this day. It was a darkness and just a terror is the best way I know to say it. It just came over me. And also with that terror and that darkness, a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, I heard Jehovah God speaking, that voice again, that authoritative, commanding voice speaking to me. And this is what he said. He gave me an outline of the next several hundred years about my descendants and where they would be and where they would go, and a sure word. Because I had asked, how will I know this for certain? But then when it became really, really dark, pitch black that night, good and dark, the most amazing thing happened. This earthenware pot that we used to bake with, smoking hot was, and inside that pot, a flaming torch with the flames coming out of it. This smoking pot and this flaming torch came and passed down between those carcasses of the animals. I was not walking. I was still sitting, waiting for something to happen. And I saw this smoking pot with this flaming torch go down between there, and the smoke and the heat just... Jehovah God was making a covenant with me. Do you understand that? Since when have the gods ever made a covenant with men? Jehovah God walked Himself through. What was He signifying? Nothing less than His own oath that it would happen. That left a mark on me. I never forgot that. God making an oath with me like that. Well, the next phase in my relationship, my growing relationship with Jehovah God, came when I actually had marital problems. You see, I don't know how, but my wife Sarah talked me into taking a second wife. Now I know what was I thinking? Is what you're asking? Yeah, what? I don't know what I was thinking. How a man can understand one woman and deal with one woman is problem enough, but I took on a second wife. Go figure. Not long after I married my second wife, Hagar, she became pregnant. And that's when it all broke loose. I mean to tell you, those two women were at it. I mean, the claws were always out. You could cut the air when you walked into the tent. It was awful. It was miserable. After each other, they couldn't say a kind word to each other. It was miserable. Learn from my lesson. My wife Sarah treated my wife Hagar so badly that Hagar finally said, "I'm out of here." And one night she was gone. We didn't know she'd left. We didn't know where she'd gone. We looked for her all over the place. We didn't know. We couldn't find her. But here's what happened. Hagar was getting it just as fast as she could out in the desert, headed away from there. And she stopped to rest by a spring of water. And here's what happened. An angel called out from heaven to her and said, "Hagar, what are you doing? Where are you going?" And here's the important part about this whole deal. The angel said to Hagar, who's under all of this, you know, all of this stuff, he said to her, "God has seen your affliction. God has heard your misery. He has heard your crying and your tears and the injustices that you felt. He's seen all the misery that you have and everything that's not right in your circumstance." And he told her to go back to us, to come back to us, to submit to and to reconcile and make things right. But he said this very important word: "God has heard your misery and your affliction. He's seen." And he told her, he said, "Furthermore, you're going to have a child. You're pregnant now. You're going to have a child, and you are to name him God Hears." Well, Hagar did come back, and she did reconcile and make right with the whole family and Sarah. And sure enough, she did have a baby, and she told me about this encounter with the angel and what the angel had said. So when her baby boy was born, yes, we named him God Hears. Isn't that an interesting name to name your child? So every time I called that boy to come with me into the field to work, I'd say, "God Hears, it's time to go. Come here, God Hears." Or if he's late for dinner, we'd call him, "Come here, God Hears." Every time I saw that boy, it was a reminder of what? That God Hears. And that well of water where the angel found Hagar, she named it God Sees Me. And we've called it that ever since. So what I learned through all of this, and I was reminded by it every single time I called my son God Hears, was when you are at the lowest point possible, when the pain and the discouragement are coming at you like 30-foot waves, when you think there is no lower that you can go, and when you think you're at the bottom, what I learned is God hears. And I was reminded by it every day that I saw my son. God hears, He sees, and He cares. Your deepest heartache, your deepest headache matters to God. My relationship with God, Jehovah God, God Most High, went to a new level. Not just a shield, not just a rewarder, not just giving me things. God hears. He sees me. He cares. It matters to God. The things about me are that concern me are they are of utmost importance to God as well. Show me a God in all the pantheon of all the gods of the world that is like this God. I've never seen one anywhere. Well, my young son, God hears, was growing. It had been some time now. He was about 13 years. And one night I had another. He's about 13 years old. One night I had another vision. Same voice, same commanding presence, same authority in that voice. I knew it well by now. Only this time he said, Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I had never heard him say that he was God Almighty. In my language, that word Almighty, it conveys just one of these incredibly immense mountains. The kind of mountain that the proportions of it just make you stagger. You know, it's just huge. It's just the kind that makes you feel very, very small. That's what that word Almighty conveys. And God was saying to you, I am God Almighty. He was saying that to me, actually. God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I had this sudden sense that God Almighty, that I was very small before Him. And I did what I think you would have done too. I fell on my face before Him and worshipped again. I had this sense that I was incredibly small in comparison to God Almighty, this that a mountain just gave me a sense of. I had a new appreciation for Him as Almighty, but I was about to learn a little bit more about what Almighty meant. I was on my face there before God, and God said to me that my wife Sarah, now you have to understand, Sarah is 90 years old by now, and Sarah has never had any children. She's been barren her whole life. He said to me, God Almighty said, you will have a child, a son, by Sarah. Well, God Almighty speaking, I'm face down before Him. I had that much right. I figured that out. But I laughed in my heart. I mean, come on, a 90-year-old woman who's been barren her whole life. And when my wife Sarah heard about it too, she also laughed in her heart. You know. What we didn't know is God Almighty can read the hearts of people like us. And He called us on it and He said, I know you've laughed. Sarah denied it. I kept my mouth shut for once. But we laughed in our hearts. Sure enough, within the year, Sarah gave birth to a son. And God told us when it happened that we had to name him. Guess what? We had to name him. He laughs. So every time I call my boy, God hears, I remember something. Every time I call my boy, he laughs, I remember another thing. God Almighty was showing me and Sarah that it doesn't matter if the woman's been barren her whole life. It doesn't matter if she's well past childbearing years. This is God Almighty we're dealing with. It was a new revelation to me. Jehovah God, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, a shield, a rewarder, a covenant-making God. God who hears, God who sees. Now a new chapter. God Almighty. It was new for me. I had no understanding before that just how mighty He was. So we named this boy He Laughs, and He really did bring laughter into our home. Is there any sweeter sound to the ear than the laughter of children? He was in every way that to me and to my wife Sarah. Well, there are many more things that I'd like to tell you about my journey into a relationship with God and the different ways that He revealed Himself to me, but I'll just have to leave it with this one last one. My son, he laughs, was becoming a lad now, and one day, and he's just the joy of my life, we're just like this together, loved going everywhere with him, he loved going everywhere with me, I felt 30, 40, 50 years younger because of him, it was great. But one day, another dream, another vision, Jehovah God, the voice I knew, God Almighty, God Most High, I knew that voice. He came to me and said, I want you to go and worship, you and the son, you and your son. Go and worship on such and such a mountain. Told me the general direction and told me he would be more specific when I got there. So there's nothing unusual about that so far. But then he said the words that kicked the air right out of my being. He said, I want you to take your son, he laughs, and go, and I will show you where, and offer him as a burnt offering in your worship of me. Those are times where you wonder, did I really hear God say that? I mean, isn't this son, he laughs, isn't he the one that God Almighty miraculously brought into my life? Against all the odds of Sarah and her age and her condition? What kind of sick humor is this? That God would take the child that he miraculously provided and now he would ask me to... Is God going to be getting some sick kind of laugh out of this? Is that how he's going to spin this? Some sadistic laugh of the gods against me after my love for this child and after he gave him to me? And furthermore, isn't my son, he laughs, isn't he the one through whom God promised to bless all the nations of the world? Isn't he the one that God promised that would raise up a great nation? And all of my inheritance would go to him. I had many questions. As you can imagine, I didn't sleep a wink that night. My heart was pounding so hard, I thought that it would surely just explode and come right out of my chest. My mind was racing like a wild stallion. And my emotions were just all over the place. And I got up, as I said, I didn't sleep any that night. It was useless trying. I got up, though, the next morning and began to make the preparations for the sacrifice, gathering the wood and the fire and, of course, the knife. I was really more numb than anything. But we set out, loaded the donkey and set out, my boy and me. For 3 days we walked. 3 days. Every time I would glance at my boy, he laughs. I felt like that knife was going in my heart. Three days, and each of those nights, the boy slept, but I did not. Now, I know that many of you know what it is to lose someone you deeply love. I know the feeling, and you know the feeling, many of you. But this time was different. God was asking me to take an active hand in the cutting short and killing my precious son. As I journeyed on those days and those nights, sleepless nights that they were, over and over, do you know what came to my mind? Over and over again. On one was the staggering grief that I was feeling. But on the other side, I began to rehearse every time I had heard from Jehovah God. I went back to the very first time when he called me and he said, go. And I went. And every time that I had heard his voice, every time since then, I went to the God Most High all over again. Possessor of heaven and earth. I went to the shield God. I went to the time he told me he would be my reward. I went to the time that he, in the smoking pot and the firing torch, went through the animals and made the covenant. I revisited each one of those again. I remembered, he laughs, was my choice son, the son of promise from God Almighty against all odds. I remembered the God who sees, the God who hears. Finally, we came to the place where Jehovah God had pointed out. We climbed that mountain, and there I prepared the altar. I built an altar, and I laid the wood on the altar. And then I took my son, he laughs. There was no laughing in my heart these days. I took my son and I bound him and I laid him on that altar. You see, I had decided, as heavy as my heart was, I had decided that Jehovah God, being God Almighty, was going to do something that I had no ability to fathom that day. Because of his promises, because of his oath, because he had sworn to me, because he was Jehovah God, God Most High, I considered that he may even raise him from the dead, but I decided to move forward, though it was tearing my heart out, because of God's oath and who he was and who he had showed himself to be. So I reached for the knife. And you know the story. How an angel from heaven called out and said, "Stop! Now I know that you love me," he said. It was a test. A test to see if I would take him at his word. All the things that God had been planting in my life, sowing them as if it were a crop. All those years, Jehovah God, God Most High, all the things that I have been recounting to you this morning. It was a test to see if I would believe him. You also know how God provided a ram there in the caught in the bushes, and I offered that ram instead of my beautiful son, he laughs. And that day, a new chapter in my relationship to God, he became Jehovah Provider. Substituted that ram for my son, he laughs. You see, many people put God in sort of a one-dimensional plane. Or he's geographically restricted to this valley. That's the way it was with me. But God was showing me through these last 30-some years about how he was Jehovah God, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, God Almighty. And I have this to say to you. It's been some 4,000 years now since I have lived on the earth as you do. But I have seen many people come and go, and the ones who get to know God beyond just some little segment of their lives, not just on worship days, but the ones who get to know God by all the things he has shown us, those are the ones who are most fulfilled. I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to get to know the God who revealed himself to me. Now you might be thinking, well, I wish he would show me in a dream and a vision like he did you. Well, I just say this. I'm actually jealous of all that you have. With those stories in your book, all the countless stories that tell so much more than I had. But the point is, friends, you have to get to know the God who is revealing. It is not just me that he wanted that kind of relationship with. He wants that kind of relationship, that kind of back and forth and deep trust between him and you, every one of you, people everywhere he wants that kind of relationship with. I'll ask you to just bow and the worship team will come back and you just think as they proceed.